Sports Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TruthNewsNetwork.com. I'm Dan Newman. Glad you could join us here today. And we've got a busy day today. We've got to talk about something that's very applicable, especially to today. We're talking about Nancy Pelosi. Yep, she's back. Yes, the new Speaker of the House of Representatives for the upcoming Congress has yet to be chosen, but odds are that former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, will receive the gavel from current and outgoing Republican Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. Even though Pelosi hails from the old school Democrats, and a new breed of even more liberal Democrats are populating the majority party in Congress, Pelosi is the odds-on favorite to be Speaker. How so? Well, she has amassed the reputation of being the best fundraiser by far for her party, has shown through her years in office her total commitment to the Democrat Party, and probably, too, because she knows where all the Democrat Party skeletons are hidden, and she probably has hidden a few of those herself. As we prepare for the changing of the guard, the House Democrats to assume control, they'll do that in January, I thought it beneficial for us to take a look forward to a Pelosi Congress by looking back to the way House under her leadership, and specifically as House Speaker, operated in years past. Yep, Nancy is back. So let's talk about Nancy. Who is she anyway? Well, she's Nancy Patricia Pelosi, born March 26, 1940. She is an American politician serving right now as the minority leader of the U.S. House of Representatives since 2011, representing California's 12th congressional district. She previously served as the 52nd Speaker of the House from 2007 to 2011, and the only woman to do so. Her ascent to House Speaker also made her the highest-ranking female politician in the history of the United States. She is the odds-on favorite to replace outgoing Speaker Paul Ryan, that to be determined by her party and the rest of the Congress in upcoming weeks. A member of the Democratic Party, Pelosi represents California's 12th congressional district. That's made up of four-fifths of the city and the county of San Francisco. She served as a House Minority Whip from 02 to 03 and was House Minority Leader from 03 to 07, holding the post during the 108th and 109th Congresses under George W. Bush. After the Democrats took control of the House in 07 and increased their majority in 2009, Pelosi was elected Speaker of the House. After the Democrats lost House control in the 2010 elections, Pelosi was elected as the Democratic leader by House Democrats and therefore the minority leader in the Republican-controlled House from that point forward. During and after her tenure as Speaker, Pelosi was perceived as a contentious political figure, with Republican candidates frequently trying to tie their Democratic opponents to Pelosi, and with moderate Democrats seeking to show their moderate bona fides by expressing opposition to Pelosi. Pelosi is going to be, almost certainly, the Speaker of the House for the 116th Congress that begins officially on January 3rd of next year. If reelected, Pelosi would become the seventh individual to return to the speakership on non-consecutive terms of office, and the first since Sam Rayburn did in 1955. So, Pelosi has been tied to one or two or three or four or five or six scandals. Speaker Pelosi was mired in a host of scandals during her years in the House so far. It is fair to say, however, that Pelosi and other Democrats are not on an island which contains all congressional and other D.C. scandals. But Pelosi's illustrate really well the apparent in-your-face attitude from many lawmakers on the left, not just Nancy Pelosi. We're detailing just a segment of some of her scandals in today's story. However, probably the most visible, the most obvious, and the most talked about scandal involving Pelosi was a legislative one. Who can ever forget this? Remember, Obamacare was about to be rammed down Americans' throats, and it was a 1,300-page bill, and she famously stepped to the podium in a national press conference and made the remarks that we have to pass the health care bill so we can find out what's in it. So what that meant was that she expected 534 of her compadres in Congress, plus her, that's 535, would all have to simply pass the bill that became one of the biggest spending bills in American history without anybody even knowing what was in the bill. And of course, we can't say that Obamacare was solely Pelosi's responsibility, but she was Speaker of the House, and as we've heard in the first couple of years of the Trump administration, Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader in the Senate are the ones who decide what bills can come forward for debate on the floor and which ones cannot. In other words, Obamacare would have never gotten to the floor of the House for debate unless House Speaker Pelosi determined that it should. And remember this too. The bill was passed in the House without a single Republican vote, passed in the Senate without a single Republican vote, and nobody, not a single member in Congress that voted for the bill, had read the bill and knew what the terms and conditions that were in Obamacare before they voted yes. Maybe not totally Pelosi's scandal, but I think every reasonable person must agree. For Congress to pass any bill, especially one so life-changing for millions of Americans, and costly for every American, without even reading the bill? Come on. That's a scandal itself. We've got several other scandals, and they're so public and so obvious, most of them have their own names. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
10 to the 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 10. Planet Fitness, through the use of motivating montage music, has made it easy to join. Just remember 10 10 10 for 10 days. Sign up for $10 and pay just $10 a month after that. Hurry, you only have until November 10th to take advantage of this Planet Fitness offer. Planet Fitness on 42nd Street next to Shopko. 10 to 10 to 10 to 10.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
In a world of change, one thing remains constant. The bedrock of truth. Welcome to the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
We're back to discussion of some of Nancy Pelosi's scandals. This first one that has a name on its own is called Son Edison. Nancy Pelosi's husband bought up to $250,000 of stock in Son Edison, which is a now financially troubled green energy company that just recently emerged from bankruptcy. He bought those stocks just weeks before it announced a major 2014 acquisition that sent its stock price soaring. SunEd's 2014 purchase of wind energy company First Wind further bolstered the reputation of the company. Wrote one market watcher at the time. Perhaps unsurprisingly, SunEdison's stock soared 29% on news of this acquisition alone. Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, had invested just in time. He bought between $100,000 and $250,000 in SunEdison stock on October 24, 2014. That's according to congressional financial disclosures. The company announced its first wind acquisition on November 17th. Surprisingly, just 3 weeks after Paul Pelosi made his purchase. Pelosi has previously been accused of trading stock based on information gleaned through her official duties. A law passed in the wake of that controversy prohibits members of Congress from using non-public information for personal gain. Language in that measure was informally dubbed, I know this will surprise you, the Pelosi provision. Scandal number two, Railgate. A report from Washington Free Beacon indicates that Pelosi alleged to have enriched herself and her husband through her efforts to steer taxpayer funds to a San Francisco area light rail project. Pelosi's support for the project caused local real estate prices to jump, such that a large parcel of land owned by high-dollar Democratic donor Mark Benioff's company received a huge profit upon selling it to the Golden State Warriors of the NBA. Pelosi's husband, surprisingly, is also a significant investor in the company. Pelosi pushed for taxpayer subsidies for the rail project for over 10 years, and that project did much to boost the real estate market in the area. That's according to commercial real estate experts. The report says that liberal billionaire hedge fund manager Tom Steyer, remember him? Best known for funding millions of dollars of national ads promoting the impeachment of President Trump. Steyer may also have been further enriched through Pelosi's efforts to provide federal subsidies to the project. Let's see. Tom Steyer, who is a billionaire Democrat activist who hates Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi, former House Speaker who wants her job back, and a financial windfall for both through the use of taxpayer subsidies. Sound familiar? And then there's Airgate. Airgate. Overall, according to documents uncovered in January of 2011, Pelosi used the Air Force aircraft for a total of 43 trips, covering 90,155 miles, and that occurred from January 1 through October 1 of 2010. Now, House speakers have the right to use private travel in Air Force private jets, smaller jets, not the big commercial ones, for their personal travel for security reasons. Judicial Watch previously documented the former speaker's military travel cost to the U.S. was $2,100,744.59, to be exact. That's over one two-year period. $101,429 of which was for in-flight expenses. Now listen to this. Those expenses included food and alcohol. Over 100 grand. Purchases for one Pelosi-led congressional delegation traveling from Washington through Tel Aviv to Baghdad May 15th through the 20th of 2008 included this. Johnny Walker Red Scotch, Grey Goose Vodka, E&J Brandy, Bailey's Irish Cream, Maker's Mark Whiskey, Crevassier Cognac, Bacardi Light Rum, Jim Beam Whiskey, Beer Feeder Gin, Dewar's Scotch, Bombay Sapphire Gin, Jack Daniel's Whiskey, Corona Beer, and several bottles of wine. That must have been a big, big, big party on that trip. Previously uncovered internal Department of Defense DOD documents, email correspondence detailing attempts by DOD staff to accommodate Pelosi's numerous requests for military escorts and military aircraft, as well as the speaker's last-minute cancellations and changes. For example, in response to a series of requests for military aircraft, one DOD official wrote, quote, "Any chance of politely querying Pelosi's team if they really intend to do all of these or they just pick every weekend? There's no need to block every weekend just in case." The email also noted that Pelosi's office had, quote, a history of canceling many of their previous requests. An investigation into Pelosi's rampant use of military planes at taxpayer expense. Documents further detail former Speaker Pelosi's abuse of military aircraft during her tenure as House Speaker. She provided sweetheart travel deals for her adult children. But it didn't stop there. Members of the House are able to obtain permission from the office of the Speaker for the use of military luxury and military-supported travel for congressional delegation trips. These trips are known as CODEL, CODELs. They exploded in number and cost under House Speaker Pelosi. As a footnote here, one, Pelosi complained to the Air Force that the jet first offered to her for her trips back and forth from D.C. to San Francisco was not sufficient for her needs. It seems the problem was that jet had to refuel during each trip, which meant stopping along the way. She demanded a replacement jet that could fly nonstop to the Bay Area from Washington, D.C. When her demands were made public, as you can imagine, there was a huge public outcry, especially in light of her already out-of-control abuse of taxpayer funds for her private jet flights. So what have former and the current House Speaker done about their air travel? Well, former House Speaker John Boehner flew commercially. Current House Speaker Paul Ryan flies commercially between his home and D.C. They both skipped private jet usage. Incidentally, Air Force private jet flight for House Speakers is allowed. So technically, Pelosi never broke any rules. But she sure did break the Americans' confidence by spending millions and millions of taxpayer dollars, not just on her travel, but on the junkets that she funded and approved other members of Congress to take, all at taxpayer expense. Wow. You know, there is nothing wrong with finding good investment opportunities or investing successfully in startup companies or even in real estate trading. But that's not what Pelosi and her husband did to get wealthy. How did the Pelosi family get all this money? It's called insider trading. She is privy to information she wouldn't otherwise have if not for her position in Congress. And she uses this so that her husband can create active trades and therefore make some big bucks that you and me, John Q. Public, don't have the information to take advantage of. In the meantime, Pelosi leads the throng of Democrats who clamor for Donald Trump to release his tax records and that he violates the emolument clause of the Constitution by his personal enrichment through his position in the government, allowing his personal companies to take advantage of that. So, why doesn't Pelosi give over her financial and tax records? Why doesn't every Democrat who has a problem with Trump's taxes bring out their own documents in a show of solidarity? I'll guarantee you, everyone listening to this believes, based on all of the furor raised about Donald Trump's tax records, thinks, oh, every member of Congress, every Democrat, every leader, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, every one of them have released their tax records. Well, they haven't. After all, they're more than content to spread Trump's business every which way they can. People seem to forget that during 2012, during the presidential campaign, Pelosi's and other members of Congress' refusal to release their tax returns was brought to light. Facing questions about why she and other top congressional officers wouldn't release their tax returns, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi at the time downplayed her previous demands for presumptive GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney to release his, calling the issue, and this is a quote of then Speaker Pelosi, a distraction. Pelosi had strongly urged Romney to provide further disclosure of his tax returns, but while maintaining Romney should release more documents because of custom and tradition, Pelosi, when facing media demands for her tax returns, said the issue, quote, was trivial compared with economic issues in the nation. She responded, "We spent too much time on that. We should be talking about middle income tax cuts," Pelosi said, after answering just two questions about the issue. And the minority leader faced questions about that issue after a McClatchy News report showed only, by the way, 17 of 535 members of the House and the Senate released their tax returns when asked. Only 17. Bringing back memories of these Pelosi scandals and the unethical, if not illegal, abuse of her position in Congress for personal enrichment for herself, her husband, friends, and campaign contributors simply leaves a bad taste in the mouths of many Americans. Is it any wonder that the approval ratings for members of Congress hover close to single digits, and yet they still get reelected again and again and go on taking advantage of political might and power at every opportunity for personal gain? Why, oh why, does that continue? It's simple. Washington, D.C. is so far removed from the sight and the minds of most Americans, and Americans are so busy with everyday life, unless a scandal that negatively impacts Americans personally occurs, politicians are almost always given a free pass. Shame on us. How can any of this be rectified if we don't rectify it? It is foolish to expect that someone who we allow to cheat the system again and again with no accountability, you can't expect them to stop cheating. Congressional actions by many through the years that have been exposed prove that point. What is horrifying is to think that even with the multiple scandals of all kinds that we find out about, how many remain unknown to us? Honestly, we'd probably all gasp if we knew. We must stop burying our heads in the sand. Americans must begin to make our elected officials accountable for all the improprieties that are guilty of and for all the financial waste of taxpayer dollars are included. How can we do that? First of all, term limits. You've heard the term bandied around for decades. Term limits. House members at the beginning of our government were elected from towns and villages for just two-year terms for a reason. They were then to return home and reassimilate in their communities and have other members from their communities go to D.C. for 2 years. Without term limits, we watch daily as politicians become career politicians who make a lifetime milking the system for every dime and bit of power they can get at taxpayer expense. We must stop the gravy train and get our officials back to just serving the people. Secondly, we need to outlaw lobbying of all kinds. Very few who serve in Congress leave Congress poor, or even in the same financial class as the day of their oath of office. Pretty much every member of Congress become millionaires. How do they do it? In addition to personal enrichment when serving, most end their political careers as D.C. lobbyists, opening doors to the clients of D.C. law firms who seek special access to lawmakers and pay big bucks to get to them. And of course, if you just left Congress, you've got access to every member of Congress that served with you. It is not uncommon for former members of Congress who at most make $174,000 a year in salary when serving to make $1 million plus per year as lobbyists after they complete their service in the House or the Senate. Then, number three, tie the total compensation of every member of Congress to the total compensation for those in similar positions in the private sector. Salaries in Congress may vary disproportionately in advantage of those in the private sector. But when the expense accounts, the health and retirement benefits are all factored in, members of Congress have a short path to guaranteed government income for life. Members of Congress should have no path to retirement and health security better than or different than Americans not in government possess for themselves? And finally, members of Congress who violate any federal statutes or violate any tenets of fiduciary responsibility to Americans in general, and their voting constituents in particular, should be publicly chastised. They should be fined severely and even expelled from Congress for committing multiple infractions. What specifically would comprise these infractions? The House and Senate each have disciplinary committees already that have written rules, and written violations are well defined. All of these, and actions taken or not taken against those who commit infractions, must be placed in the media for their notification to voters of these violations. Will any of this happen? Can any of this happen? The answer to both, sadly, is probably not. Why? Congress has the power to write or not write legislation, personally follow congressional guidelines, and hold or refuse to hold themselves and fellow members accountable. It's too easy for them to just push the ball down the road without making any waves. Quid pro quo is pretty much the everyday occurrence. If they don't tell on somebody else when they do something wrong, they won't get told on. Term limits would stop that ball from rolling, but Congress would have to pass term limit laws themselves. Do you think that's going to happen? It's doubtful. After all, Congress gets to decide what they make personally, their own paychecks, how much they can each receive in personal benefits, and the budget for their offices, including office payroll. And they just tell us how much we need to send them to pay for all of these things they decide for themselves. And don't forget, they're not like you and me. When our checking accounts get empty, we got to wait till the next paycheck comes in. If you're a member of Congress and the candy store, the U.S. Treasury, gets empty, they just raise the debt limit and borrow some more money. You and I get to pay the bills, plus we get to pay the interest on the money that they borrow. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? For them. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me here today. A story that needs to be discussed, and I'm throwing it out there. It'll come up again and again and again, especially now that half of the U.S. Congress goes back to the Democrat Party control. Don't miss a day. We're here every day this week and almost every day year-round with the best and the most important of what's going on in Washington, D.C. as it pertains to me and to you and our fellow Americans. Thanks for joining us at the Truth News Network. You have a great day. We'll see you soon. So long, everybody.
Always get the truth on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.